Rio for Ms. Guthrie, and this is Friday the 16th of October 1970. Friday the 16th of October 1970. The beginning of New Rio, Channel 1 Right. Channel 1 Right. Channel 1 Right. Beginning of New Rio for Ms. Guthrie this Friday morning, the 16th of October 1970. Beginning of New Rio, Channel 1 Right. Channel 1 Right. Beginning of a new reel from Ms. Guthrie this Friday morning, the 16th of October, 1970. We didn't have our visit over here last Friday, but late Friday was that famous visit, marvelous visit to the container woods across the road from them. This beginning of the visit was Ms. Guthrie. This Friday morning, the 16th of October, 1970, Channel 1 Right.
Another great friend, always in good company. Come to your good meal company. Good meals company. That's A-K-N-C.
Get the best for less. Famous super ripe quality fully cooked hams as low as 39 cents a pound for the shank.
This pretty thing made out of this. You did? Yes, ma'am. It was more like a... took this and made a picture frame.
Oh.
And put flowers in. And it was so pretty.
Well, I'm glad you have all those.
And more too.
Do you get them?
No, ma'am.
Well, you just take them. There's two of those.
And I, you know, in town, this is what the eggs come in that I get in town.
Well, I think pretty nice. And then I get you some more.
And put something in the flowers. See, they put the flowers in between.
Oh, I see.
And come out like this and put it back in it. And put it's a pretty one, right? I need to put it in there.
Come on in here. Let me put it up a little.
What was that? You are.
I was telling I seen it, those egg cartons.
Yes.
I take them, you know, and make a something like a picture frame. And then they fill it up full of artificial flowers,
yeah.
And it's real pretty.
Yeah,
there it is.
But you know, you ought to be able to do something with a nice
yeah.
thing like that.
You take it like that and just make you a square picture frame. Well, you have a back in there, you know.
Yeah.
And fill that front, that up with flowers, and it's real pretty.
Yeah.
My James's wife fixed one.
Yeah.
So now let's have a sip of Gatorade.
I never saw any of the Rawlsons. What is Clark? Is he my age?
I would say so.
How is he?
Fine.
Alice Clover?
Alice Clover.
Smell good.
Yes, sir.
Oh, that's the nicest smelling stuff.
I didn't get but 200 bales. That's all they had. You know, he and Freddie is in cahoots. And he sold his part. And Freddie was there and got his part.
Oh, I see.
We hauled hay all Sunday afternoon. Didn't even get to go to church.
Hey, is that right? Where'd you put it?
Some of it at the house and some at the Denham place.
Yeah. Well, what's Clark like? Is he like the other Rawlsons?
I don't know much about him, you know. All I know, he been to the house and tried to sell us a car, you know, good long time ago.
Yeah.
He was working for the Chevrolet people in Gainesville. Then he left there and went to Palatka. And I just lost trace of him, and I talked to him over the phone, but I didn't know who I was talking to. He just told me that he wanted to talk to Marvin, and so Marvin talked to him, and Marvin didn't know him. And we drove up there Sunday evening, and it was Clark Rawlson.
Yeah, well, it's a wonder.
Got a nicest place out there in them woods.
Big place?
Big place. Yeah, I don't think it belongs to him. Do you know Mr. Thomas? Tompkins, or used to live between Micanopy and Rochelle out there?
Oh.
Thomas. This fella sold out.
Oh.
And Clark said he called him up and asked him, did he want to go out there and live with him? So Clark got a big, nice house trailer out there, and this fella's got a house trailer.
Yeah.
And this your fella, Thomas or Tompkins or whatever, Thomas, he seems to be a real nice man.
Oh, you saw him too?
Oh, yeah, he was there. Real nice.
Mm-hmm.
Their wives was out there, and Freddie's wife was out there. And me and Marvin was out there with the other niggers.
You all had a party, didn't you?
We gathered hay.
Well, it's, did they have one of them slings to put it up on the truck?
No.
Oh, that's the most helpful thing.
We had Curtis. Curtis was out there, and Linda and I drove the truck for him, and they loaded it.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm.
That's the hardest thing, getting it way up high on the old truck.
Mm-hmm.
How many trips you have to make?
A couple.
Oh, is that all?
Mm-hmm. See, we carried the big cow truck and we filled it up in our pickup. Well, we didn't have time to unload the cow truck, so we left it till Monday evening to unload, and we carried our pickup in Curtis's. Pickup and got two more loads.
Oh.
We didn't get for 200 bales.
Well, that's right, smart. You're the ones that get that, they'll spoil them, won't they? You know, when I think of old man Rollison, I just know him from hearing people talk. Them boys, after they got back from the war, and they got into everything, including moonshine.
They did.
Now, I don't know about Clark, but now I forget their names, you see. The one in particular, you know, what was his name? Well, you know, one of them in particular, he just got into everything. Now, what Clark was in on the other night.
I imagine Clark was too.
But the thing of it is, they made good moonshine. And everybody wanted it. And that was, Ms. Rawson was lying.
I don't know what made me say so, but I told Marvin that I met Clark was back there making moonshine. And then,
yeah. And
he said, well, he sure is in a place looks like to make it. Of course, he might not be. Said that just crossed my mind, and I never heard tell of Clark being in the moonshine business. But you know, I knowed him a long time ago, and he married, his first wife was a Ferguson.
Yes.
He married her from Micanopy. Nice looking girl.
Yeah.
And he told me Sunday, I didn't make no mention about him and his wife, but I said, well, how come you to leave Oak Ridge and come out here? And he told me, he said he'd give his ex-wife the place. And so he's with his second wife.
Oh.
Out there.
Mm-hmm. Everything happens to a man these days.
Sure does.
Well, that's nice. You found some clover. I just love to have clover. I started to plant some this year, and then I thought, well, I don't know what it was. You know, the season has lots of
it. That is delicious. Is that the Gatorade?
Uh-huh. Isn't it good?
It is delicious.
And it's not doctored up, you know. I didn't put any 7-Up or anything in it. It's just a straight Gatorade.
Mm-hmm.
And we like it. And, you know, it doesn't take much to sort of give you a lift. But we like it this way better than we do fizzed up.
coffee. I just hang on to it, you know.
I make extra. For somebody might come in.
Drink cold breakfast. Oh, goodness. When I think about how we just dropped in and ate peas with Miss Mary.
Yeah.
That's all you did.
That was good, wasn't it?
They're the best things. I can taste them right now. I can't cook them like that.
Well, now, the peas and beans you get ain't always that good, are they?
Well, I just don't know.
These are fresh.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, that makes them better. Aren't they a little better fresh than they are frozen? No, you can't tell the difference.
I can't tell much difference. I cooked some last night and got them out of the freezer.
Mm-hmm.
And they seem to me like they taste the same.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Margaret, I'm glad to get back up there where you can rest a little bit, I guess, on Monday.
Oh. Well, he sure put out Sunday. We left home at 12 o'clock. And we finished up, I guess, about 8:30 or 9.
All that time?
Mm-hmm. They had trouble with the baler.
Oh, yeah.
And getting it adjusted after they got the hay. They said it come a little shower of rain on it, you know, since he talked to us, and they had to let it dry a little bit longer. Wasn't any enough to hurt it, but it just got a little bit damp.
Yeah.
When he first cut it.
Oh, you all picked it up in the field?
Yes, ma'am. I'm going to plant some clover next year.
That'd be nice.
I wished I knew what time to plant it.
Well, you can have an early crop or late crop, just like hay. You just try to hit the good season.
Well, I'd like to have the late crop. I believe you have better luck in saving it if you cut it in October and November.
It's not as good as the early crop.
It's not.
Well, you know, it gets a little stemmy. You don't have the growing season in the late. It just don't grow as well as it does in that, you know, if it rains, in the rainy season. Now, if it don't rain, then
that's not. Well, they certainly have got some of it over yonder.
And not too stemmy?
No, ma'am.
Good.
You mean over to the
over there at Rollison's.
Yeah. Now, he's not feeding anything.
Do we?
Clark himself, he's not feeding anything.
I don't know.
Well, he sold all his.
Well, all he had cut down that evening, now, they got just worlds of it standing.
Well, they still got hay.
And I don't know whether they're going to cut it or not. See, this year was where Freddie Woods had his watermelons planted.
Yeah.
And it come up after the watermelons, you know, and they saved the hay.
Oh, I see. Well, the watermelon season's over the 4th of July.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can get it in the next week or two, you still got most of the growing season.
Well, I think this spring I'm going to have all my bahia turned. I'm going to get in there and if we have rain. And just cut it up and fertilize it.
This is the time, as soon as, you know, as it gets cool, at the end of this growing season, while it's cool.
It won't kill it?
Oh, it'll be good for it.
It will?
Yes, sir. now that's, let me tell you, my experience is very little. Right out there, the first ride I ever had was right out there and on down and up in here. And I wanted to cut up that sod. It was getting so hard. And it lasted the 1st of April. It lasted good that year. And then I, it's rough. He just, that old sod, Mr. McCray did it. He just turned it and planted it. And you know how rough it'd be, this old sod. So after we took the calves off, I harrowed it, just trying to level it, you know. Oh, I worked it over and fertilized it and limed it. And that was the rankest growth I've ever had out here.
Mm.
Oh, it was rich.
Right. And you did that in April?
Yeah, any time over there. But no, I cut it up, you see, and planted that rye out there. Now, that's the thing about your oats or rye this winter. You see, you can, two birds with one stone.
You know, I don't even want to plant your oats or rye.
You can turn it, you see, like you were saying, cut it up. At the same time, they can plant it, and you got a little fertilizer to make it healthy. If they do it, but my trouble is they put it off so late.
That's it. You can't get anybody to do anything. I got some little bulldozing work I'd like to get done over at the other place, but he don't have time to do it.
Is that the same man?
Mm-hmm. Same man, Mr. Weaver.
Now, where did you have all the bulldozing done before over there?
Side of the road and back. You ever been over there? Yeah, you went over there, didn't you? Back over that way.
Not where the cattle was?
No. I didn't. Well, I had that bulldozed before Mr. Guthrie left, yeah.
Oh, all that was in woods.
Oh, yes, it growed up.
Oh, that's right, the Dunham place. You had to clear.
Yes.
Oh.
It'd been cleared at one time, then growed up again.
That's right.
He hadn't farmed it, he just had cattle in there.
No, the people that owned it used to farm it.
But Mr. Guthrie didn't farm it.
Oh, no, he never did farm it.
So it grew up again.
Yeah, it grew up. It had grown up something terrible.
I don't know any Denham people in Michinoka.
Barron is the only one that was there, and he's dead.
And he's the one Mr. Guthrie bought it from?
Yes, sir.
Denham.
If Marion got a sister there? He used to have a sister at Micanopy.
I don't know. When did Mr. Guthrie, did he have that when you all married?
Oh, no. No, sir, I think I bought that in 46.
Oh, way on, late. After the war.
After the war.
Now, did y'all have that container place way back then, too?
Oh, yeah.
Well, y'all paid in a lot of money over there.
You might have right.
Now, that joins your
property.
Dinner place. I can sort of see.
Mm-hmm.
All that.
But it wasn't as grown up back then as it is now.
No, sir. It grows up more and more every year.
And that means it's worth less to you.
That's right. But you know the cows just getting fat? I think it's because the lake's going down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could tell they were getting something.
Well, that's some place over there. Now, you never saw the old darky that had that land back there where we went? That's for your time?
The old darky that owned the land. Who are you talking about?
They farmed that piece down close to the lake, you said. 20 acres in there.
Oh, yes, sir. No, I didn't see his daddy, but I seen him, Will Woodard. And I seen his mother. They used to live up there right by the road in a two-story house. His mother, Aunt Hester.
And then he owned that 20 acres right there, bought in the lake?
Yes, sir, that's what I've always been told. And you know Pfeiffer Company owned it before the containers. And old Aunt Hester, she had a home right up there, well, not quite in front of where we live, but right on down towards the Jackson place. And the old darkies, you know, they'd get old and they weren't able to work. And Pfeiffer had a commissary out at Pfeiffer. And they'd go out there and buy a little something to eat, you know. And when they did, why, they'd take their place.
Yeah.
I said, that's how come a Pfeiffer company so big?
They just knew how to do it.
They knew how to do it, and they had lawyers that worked for them, just like the containers has their lawyers hired. And,
they just take it, they just know, they just take advantage of everything.
What's wrong?
Nothing.
She's talking about the dam. They're just coming up for water.
Nothing, she just
talking.
Calling Ajax, telling him to come on and get a drink. Why, Miss Mary, that's terrible.
You know what? You know,
that's right. No, that's the way it was.
You know, I had that puncture. When was it? Sunday or Saturday? When was it? Over there in front of your house? Friday, when Marvin drove up. I had run over that whiskey bottle. Well, I took it to the service station and we looked in it. And the whiskey bottle didn't have a thing to do with it.
Didn't.
No, sir. It was a little tack.
Makes sense.
And it had been there all along. And why it waited for me to stop at your house and then pull out.
and think it was the whiskey barrel.
And then I drove, I don't know. What y'all been into this week? You've been working so hard.
Oh, nothing. I cleaned the house this morning, partly cleaned the house. I got to go to the cemetery working tomorrow, out at Wednesday.
Yeah. Well, those,
I got to fix dinner and take.
Oh, a group of you go?
Ma'am?
A group of you go?
Yes, ma'am. The whole community. They always have a big dinner out there.
And then they all do the work themselves.
Well, everybody, mostly the men, they pitch in and clean the cemetery. And they have a little business meeting over the cemetery and have lunch out there. And then we come on home. We visit, you know.
Get to see everybody.
That's right.
Now that brings people in from all around, wouldn't it?
Yes, sir.
Not just around in the neighborhood.
They had the Townsend Cemetery working Wednesday, but I didn't go. Everybody went but me, but I didn't go. I stayed home.
Yeah. Oh, wanting to have them?
They have the towns in the cemetery, I think, twice a year.
Yeah.
And I think they have the Winchester twice a year.
And that pretty well takes care of it?
Yes. Y'all better come out.
Well, we'll meet you at the cemetery. I don't know whether that'd be good luck or not.
Don't know whether it'd be good luck or not.
Yeah.
Why?
They will meet you at the cemetery.
Oh, me. It is amusing, though, you know. I enjoy it. There'll be a little group standing out here, and they're just yakking, you know. And a little group over there, and they'll be talking about something else. And the little group over there, and they'll be talking about something else. I said, listen. And they go like a bunch of them. I get some tickle in.
What did they talk about?
Just anything, you know. They'd be some would be talking about the cemetery, and some would be talking about the church, and some would be talking about something else that they're doing, and some would be talking about the jobs, you know, and what they've been doing, and about going to fishing. Just first one thing and another.
Yeah. Well, who else is over there that I know? Anybody?
I don't know. Seem like you know everybody I know.
I sure don't.
Oh, and the last Sunday in this month, we're going to have our homecoming at the church.
No, after that little, I don't know, any of the Townsends. After that funeral over there, told Faye I was coming by. I wanted to sit with you all and have you point out some of the people, but you know, it was so crowded you couldn't mm-hmm. sit with anybody.
That's
you
right.
couldn't sit.
Well, they'll be out there tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's not it. You see, I hear people talk about them all, but I don't know them.
Mm-hmm.
You see, Clark Rollison, Marvin's brothers, and all those people. They're just names to me.
Well, the Townsends won't be here tomorrow.
Yes, ma'am. Oh, really? I imagine they will.
Yeah.
Some of them. You know, I kept thinking, ever since we was over there, when was that?
Friday.
Friday? Over there in the container. That's some place, isn't it?
Sure is.
Oh, you get lost over there.
I just couldn't believe it was so much.
Well, there's just as much on the other side as there is on that side or more. Belongs to the containers.
What do you mean on the other side? Next to Dodge?
No, over, you know, where we were at, just where we come out at the gate, just across the highway.
Yeah. And they got that much more?
No, yeah. That ain't a starting of their property. They own way up there at Gainesville. And all on the other side of the road as you're going to, from Hawthorne to Gainesville.
Yeah.
On both sides of the road. They own, you might say, Alachua County.
Yeah.
And they own a lot of land up there at Cross City. The Containers Works up there.
Well, now, are they pretty nice to deal with?
They don't care nothing about you.
Yeah. They don't pay attention to you?
Not a bit in the world. They don't. All they want is that dollar.
Yeah.
And they don't care no more about you and your cows and what happens to them than nothing.
Well, now, what was that back that we was talking about? They was logging over there. And the cows would hear them trees coming down.
They were cutting pulpwood and hardwood out of there, you know.
And the cows would hear them trees coming down and run up there to get the
moss and get hurt, get killed.
And the container, the people didn't do anything about it.
Oh, no. You might as well be talking to a logger. Told them about it, but I told them about it.
Did you? Mm-hmm. You told them on the telephone?
No, I went to the office and told him. Told the manager. But I went to pay my pastor rent.
That was last year?
This year.
You told him this year?
Yes, sir, I did.
I think I would just deducted the price of the cow.
You can't do that.
Well, the trouble is, in a big thing like that, you never talk to anybody that knows anything.
They don't show anybody any favors at all. We can't even go in there and cut us a post to go in the fence.
Why, Miss Mary?
That's right.
But what's to keep you from going out
there? Yeah. But if you was caught at it, they'd put you in the gang.
I tell you, if you go in there and get some of those logs, those things they've already cut. Oh. What they do is just going to hold it?
Oh, they cut it and sell it.
I mean the land.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And get more if they can.
They try to get enough out of it, I guess, to pay the rent.
You mean the taxes?
They
get double, they say. They say the containers don't have to pay nothing over what we do for taxes.
Hey, you know that little place where we went down there at the point, I don't know what you call it, out there where we stopped?
A lake.
It's a lake, yes. You know, that's a nice place.
Now, that's what they call 20 Brothers. We went to 20 Brothers. Oh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That is 20 Brothers.
Oh, them old palm trees was way up there, wasn't it?
I mean,
I don't know that I ever saw them grow so high as that.
And they were ragged.
Did it used to be thicker?
No, sir. You mean where the palm trees is? Well, I guess it once upon a time it did, but I don't remember.
Not your regulation.
No.
And you've been down there lots of times.
Lots of times, yes, ma'am.
That'd be a nice place for a picnic.
Sure would.
Just go down there and look at all those.
Now, before they killed all them their big trees out of there, it wasn't as rough. You could just go and walk for miles and miles, just like it was out in the open of the lake, and be just as clear. But, you know, they go down there and they cut them, kill them big trees and cut them, and it makes the reeds grow. But it used to be just as clear and open down there. Mr. Townsend used to have a fish camp down there where he landed his boat and skinned his fish and all.
You mean right where we went?
Right where we went.
Which Townsend is that?
Marvin's daddy.
Oh. Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Just off to the left from where we got out and walked down.
Well, he surely knows about it then.
Yes, he knows about it.
That's okay, because of my
business. I've seen some of the prettiest beans grow down there you've ever seen.
Beans?
Beans.
Yeah.
Mr. Guthrie planted beans down there once fall.
Oh, you mean it was open and clear?
Yes, sir. That used to be old fields down there. Well, them old big dog fennels and all on there where we drove, and it was so rough, the open fields.
Huh. Hard to imagine.
Yes.
Because it looked like such a wilderness now.
Mm-hmm.
And the container got hold of it and let it grow up.
That's right, cut that big timber out of it, you know, them big sweet gums and big hickories, and it just growed up.
Yeah. Now, how did they get a hold of that?
The containers? I don't know. They bought out from Pfeiffer Company. It used to belong to Pfeiffer.
Yeah.
Pfeiffer, he got a hold of it, just beat who dark is out of it, and give them a sardine, a can of sardines and a box of crackers, and
charge it
to them. That's right.
They couldn't pay for the cash.
And when they died out, well, they just took it.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I don't know just how come, well, the old Pfeiffer's, they died out, you know, and the younger generation, they sold it to Owen, Illinois.
So it was just once a farming community.
That's right.
And Mr. Guthrie had beans down there.
He sure did.
Beautiful beans.
They were beautiful. And didn't get a thing out of them. He shipped them, picked them, had them picked, and carried them to Evanston and shipped them. And dogged if the railroad company didn't done him for, he had to pay the freight on them.
The rush is trying.
Oh, it is.
Uh-huh.
Well, I have got a thing now coming to me. I will see what he's got in mind.
Who is it?
Rush's tractor. It's probably kind of a business or something. Why was it called 20 Brothers?
I don't know why it's been called 20 Brothers as long as I can remember, and I don't know why.
Isn't that interesting? Well, I haven't seen a place where you could just look up at the sky and see just the palm trees against the bare sky that's so beautiful as that in a long time.
Mm.
It just seemed miles and miles and miles to me, because we were driving slowly.
Mm-hmm. No, it weren't far.
You could walk it.
Oh, sure.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it didn't be a long walk, but it wasn't too far. It's about, I'd say, from our house, about 2.5 or 3 miles. It's not so far.
To the lake.
That's right.
But you know, passing along the highway, you'd never know You just look out there and you think how desolate that looks, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd never know all that was back there.
No,
never. Well, did you all put all those fences over there at the Dunham place?
Yes.
You got a lot of fences.
We put them all over there. Sure did.
That's a... You got fences, cross fences, all kinds of things.
Best drawer keep a secret, let him have your chance, please.
Yeah.
This is Miss Guthrie, Miss Brewer.
Thank you.
My wife.
Thank you. Come on,
you
have
go sit down. Oh, there's things I'd love. I attempted every time I come down there, especially those implements. he had traded for a Ford Moore. Mowing blades, you know.
Sickle bar mower.
That, oh, it's nice.
Yeah, that's
and,
right.
And I kept looking at it, you know. It was, I don't know how much it's been used. Didn't look like it's been used much.
It don't look like it's been used much, that's right.
But you know, even used, the price of those things is so high.
Yes,
yeah,
right.
It's $300 to $400 you see for that and you know the way we used to do. I bought several more blades like that for $700 to $500.
Yeah,
that's
hard to believe.
Well, I think one reason, since they invented rotary mowers, people have gotten away from those sickle bars, and there's just not very many of them around. They use them for cutting hay, but even that has kind of played out. They make these regular hay machines that's only made for cutting hay and nothing else, and they've gone to using them instead of the sickle bar mowers for cutting hay, so... There's just not as many sickle bar mowers around as there used to be, so that makes the demand for the used ones higher.
Yeah. Well, that's what you run into.
Yeah, that's right.
But it looked like it just about my speed.
That's right.
I remember first time when I found out that I couldn't go to the junkyard anymore. I bought a bunch of these old white bathtubs, and the first time I bought any, I think it was about $2 or $3.
Yeah.
And then it went up to $5, and then they went up to $10. And I could just see the handwriting. There wasn't any count.
Yeah.
So. They didn't have anything in them, but they just kept going out. So I don't go to junkyards anymore.
Well, that's about right. You go to the junkyard for a part for an automobile, it'll cost you about twice as much as it will to go buy that same part new.
Yeah.
They think when you go to the junkyard, it's because you can't get it anywhere else. You got to have it.
Yeah. Well, now, how about that? And then you got so much time.
Yeah.
But Guthrie's got a place over there. She buys more stuff than I do. She lives over there towards, what do you say, Route 6 Road,
mm-hmm.
Junction Road, and Oak Road.
Yeah.
I came out here, I was going to farm a little bit, but it got cost me so much. I had a letter on it.
Well, I tell you, it'd be just fine if the machinery would stay fixed.
Yes, I don't know. I guess it's like everything else. They make it so doggone complicated. When it works, boy, it's beautiful. But when it don't work, why, it takes a mechanical engineer to put it back together almost or something. I just think another day about tractors. It's buying a tractor nowadays pretty near as bad as buying a car. They give you a price on a tractor, but that don't include tires or anything else. You got a dozen more categories you got to go through to get the tires and the hydraulic system and everything else you want to go
with it. So you can't just go in and say, give me a tractor, and that's it. You got to go through all this list of stuff and figure prices on everything to get a complete tractor. And you got 40 different choices on everything in the world. It's as complicated as buying a car with or without air conditioning, or with or without white walls, or with or without this, that, and the other, you know. And then a tractor amounts to about the same thing.
Yeah, with air brakes.
Yeah, disc brakes or power brakes or without automatic transmission or what have you.
And now I understand they're trying to make you have a cab or something to protect yourself.
Yeah, I don't know. That's some of these ideas they get. I never heard of enough people getting killed on a tractor, and generally it's his own fault. He probably would have got killed with or without a cab, so I don't know if the cab is going to be all that valuable.
That bar, I was saying, if you had the bar, you still would fall out.
Yeah, you'd still fall out.
You'd have to strap yourself in.
But, I can see cabs out in the western states where they plow a field with 1,000 acres and ain't a tree or nothing else to run under, why, you're all right. But around here, you'd have the cab knocked off half the time when you're parking it under a tree or something else.
These big custom plows sort of spoil you these days, you know?
Yeah.
As you go back to these little 2-bottom 20-inch plows.
Looks like you ain't going nowhere, no.
It looks like you're not going anywhere. But before you get one of those A-frame or disc tractors, you've got to have considerable power, haven't you?
Yes, one of those big discs. It takes pretty good power to pull it, all right. Of course, they make those heavy-duty discs in several sizes, and the smaller sizes can be pulled with smaller tractors, but even then, some of these older model Fords or older model Alice Chalmers or something just wouldn't hardly have power enough to pull it, at least not very deep, not as deep as you would want to go normally.
And not very fast.
And probably not very fast, that's right. And then if you hit a soft spot or a muddy spot or something else, well, the tractor's liable to be spinning the wheels around, you'd be stuck or something.
Mm-hmm.
And a disc, to do good work, has to travel at a certain speed. If you go too slow, it don't do too good, and you go too fast, it don't do too good. You need the power to pull it just about like it should go in there at the right speed range.
Yeah. Yes, and so that gets you into the power. You got to have the power first.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like when I come out here, I thought I had some standing grass. And I bought a herd of cattle going it. But it turned out I didn't have very good grass.
The cow's son told you different.
Yeah. So you don't know when you're busy.
Well, I think you've got some good land here to grow grass. You want to get it started.
Yeah.
This is potentially fertile soil up in this part of the country.
Yeah, it holds water pretty well.
Yeah.
Or if you lived on that light land where there's no clay, I don't know what I'd do with that.
Well, some of them make pretty good grass. Of course, I think they have to give it more attention. They fertilize more, and some of them even irrigate. Not all of them, but a few of them irrigate, and they grow some mighty good grass. But then I think it takes more attention and more work to it than you would have to put in up here.
Yeah. Yeah, I ought to just take out all these fences and fence rows and throw it all together and put it in something.
Yeah.
I don't see him doing it.
Well, I know what you mean. I had the same trouble at home.
What's the best fertilizer spread to get, you know, just for this common purpose like this, putting out a ton at a time?
We've got some that hook on a 3-point hitch that Oh, I think if your tractor's mad enough to hold it up, they'll carry about 1,000 pounds at a time back there. Of course, you don't have to put that much in it. But one of them has fans, as they call it, whirligig things, like these spreader trucks that throws it out there. And the other one uses a system, I've never seen it work, but it has a hose thing that flops back and forth, a nozzle thing. It's, I believe the spreader's made in Belgium or something. And they tell me it does an excellent job for a strip about 30 feet wide. It'll really lay the fertilizer down. But like I say, I've never seen one of them work. But,
30 feet wide?
Yeah. About 15 feet on each side of your tractor, see. They claim if you try to stretch it any farther than that, make it throw any farther than that, then it begins getting kind of raggedy along the edges. But if you set for a strip 30 feet wide, why, it does an excellent job.
Well, does it pay you to get one that'll put out the seed, too?
Well, I think this one will. Most of them will, in fact. You just cut them down fine enough, the hole in the bottom, to put out the amount of seed you want to put out. The only drawback to that is your seed is put on top of the ground, and then if you start to disc it in or something, some of your seed gets in too deep and some of them maybe not still on top of the ground or something. It's kind of a problem to really get the seed covered good when you do it that way, but it's a lot faster and cheaper to do it that way than it is with a grain drill or something like that.
That's right, the grain drill will be best.
Yeah.
Now the custom people, when they cut it and plot and seed at the same time, they've got a little, well, that's a different sort of flavor, isn't it?
Yeah, well, some of them use, or used to, I don't know so many of them using them anymore, used to use a cultipacker roller with a seed box on it.
Yeah.
And there was a double roller, and the front roller ridged the ground up, and then the seed box dropped the seed in there, and the back roller split the difference and pushed those little ridges down, and it just covered the seed. You could just almost be sure you had the seed covered half inch deep or something like that, see.
Yeah.
And it's real good for planting small seed that needed to be planted shallow, but a cultipacker is an awful expensive thing to run. They fall to pieces mighty fast.
You've got to be a mechanic, haven't you?
Well, it's not so much of a mechanic. They're, most of them, they're made, designed to work in the northern states where when you break the land, turn it, it rolls over in big clods or something. And these cultipackers running over it kind of pulverizes it a little bit and pushes it back down and levels it up, see?
Yeah.
Well, up there, they get along pretty good. But down here, they're just made out of cast iron, the wheels on them are. And they just roll in this sand, and they pretty soon wear out. And if you hit a rock or something going too fast, you can break those cast iron rollers and all that.
And then you got a job getting some more back on there.
Yeah, you got to take it to pieces and slip off enough to get to the broken one and slip some more on the end because they all fit on one big long axle. So they're an excellent tool, but most of these people in using them, if you put hire a driver to get out there and use them, well, it's soon broken up. If a fellow could use it himself and take care of it, why, it's a fine tool. It does a wonderful job and all that. But they've kind of got away from them.
Yeah. Yeah, it's always a temptation just to come down there and look at your implements. Makes a man want to go in business.
My wife says, drool on them a little bit.
I've gone broke over here so many times already.
Yeah, you're like the joke I read somewhere said the, I forget how it was now, is the definition of a farmer, something about he's the only person in the world that could go broke every year and still stay in business or something like that. That's about right.
Where I come from up the country, we had silage all the time. It was never much of a job. We had little old trucks to haul it with, and
We put them in Sally's trenches, and also we had a silo.
Or pride, yeah.
And we've done it the same way every year.
Yeah.
Corn silage, mostly. And so I thought, well, that'll be my salvation down here. This feed costs so much.
Mm-hmm.
And I put all that strip of land over there. I had 20 acres of corn. And it turned out nice. It was, I forget what you call the corn. It was not a hard,
mm-hmm.
very hard one. And it made good. And I dug a trench out there, 12 foot deep. Everything I did was wrong. And Buck Johnson dug it from me, and he started from the wrong end.
I started wrong right to begin with.
And it was solid clay.
Yeah.
It sloped down that way, you see. Well, he made it. He
brought all the water back that way.
And he busted his implements on it. He got into, clay. It's, he got into that mineral, whatever it is. I just bust him up
mm-hmm.
Two or three times. And he lost money. He went broke too.
Well, how was you going? What was you digging the trench for, Mister?
That's where I'm gonna put the corn silage.
In the trench.
Yeah, there's they do that. A lot of them use it. You can you put it in. Of course, like he says, you want the trench bottom of your trench sloping, so the water all runs out of one end, don't collect in the trench. And you put the silage in there and pack it down good. And nowadays, since you can buy these big sheets of plastic, they cover it with plastic. But I remember when it didn't even do that. Some of them, I think, used to spread dirt back over top of it.
Well, how do you do that now? Why? Just go throw your corn in it?
Yeah, you grind it all up.
Oh, you grind
cut,
the corn.
Well, you use an ensilage cutter. Cuts it up in little bitty hunks like that. Cobs, corn, stalks, and all.
Okay.
And well, what would you want to put it in then?
When you put silage in a silo, it goes through a heat and cooks and pickles and makes cow feed.
That's right.
It preserves itself.
That's right. Oh, it smells.
That's what I wanted to know, Mr.
It smells all.
Why would you add a bunch of corn?
I tell you, it smelled like a liquor distillery.
We had people coming all the way around thinking we'd make it liquor.
Every time.
Every time.
Yeah,
well,
that's right. Well, yeah, and they've done fine. But now, there were several drawbacks. See, that's the whole stalk. You just cut the whole
stalk. Yes.
You do?
They just put everything
stalk
in there. Stalk, leaves, corn, tassel, and everything. Cobs and all.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing. You're supposed to get the corn, the ear, before it gets hard.
Yeah, that's why I was kind of in the milk stage, as you call it.
Late milk stage.
Yeah.
All right. And get the corn stalk before it gets to be fodder.
Yeah, that's right. You want it green.
Because it's still green. Well, down here, you might get that in 24 hours' time.
Yeah.
Well, you mean the cows will eat that?
Oh, yeah, they love it.
They love it.
What do you put in there with it?
Yeah, you don't need to put in anything. It's got everything right there. Except if you catch that 24 hours. If you don't, all you got is old dry fodder ground up.
And then when you get that in silo, you got to pour water on it to make it ferment. It just lays there like hay or something if it ain't wet enough.
Oh, yeah.
Well, about how old is your corn be before you put it in there?
You catch the ear corn at the milk stage. Just where
before it makes a hard kernel, while the kernels are still soft like.
That looks to me like that wouldn't be no good.
Yeah, marvelous. Your margin is not enough to operate on.
What you mean?
On top of that, I thought I could borrow somebody's old dump truck, and they charged me $100 a day for it.
You soon owned the truck and had to get it back to it.
And I had to hire the driver. So, you see how I go into business.
Yeah, well, That sounds about like the way I had to do anything. I tell my wife, I know for a start it's going to be wrong, but I'm doing the best I can.
Well, he had all this information. He went over to the university and talked to them.
Yeah.
And I remember one of the experts is out here one time, Phil Loggins, and he looked at it and he says, now, you feel like this is the way we told you to do it?
And then he had to figure a way to get it out.
Yeah, it gets back pretty tight sometimes.
You had to take your corn out?
Yeah, I had to get it out. That's why I got all that machinery out there. That year, I forget the year, 63 or 4, somewhere along there, we started feeding early. The frost got early. And I think it was about the 9th of November, I started feeding. So I didn't think he turned around at all. And so I thought, well, that's fine. I hauled 2 or 3 loads of that stuff out there. I made some trailers for it, you know, where you could haul it out and make it eat out of the
trailer. Park the trailer, yeah.
Park the trailer. And I noticed it linger around it and keep eating. I thought that's odd. And that went on for 2 or 3 weeks. And I saw them. They wasn't holding their flesh.
Mm.
The cows. And what I found was that there wasn't any protein in it at all. And all they eat didn't help them.
Just stuffing, you might say.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I had to start buying soybean meal,
yeah,
and spreading it on that stuff. So I already went broke once, you see, with the corn and the silo. I went broke again buying protein. And I don't think they did tell me all the ins and outs.
Well, I don't know. There's been a lot of other people over the years have tried silos. What one time was a lot of upright silos built out of concrete and so forth.
Over here, Simonton Ranch is over,
yeah,
there.
Still
over there.
And they don't know what to do with them, I imagine. But it's a good thing in the northern states, like you know, they use it a whole lot. But one of the drawbacks when they first started down here, they would plant corn and cut it, and plant corn the next year and cut it off the same land, and pretty soon the land was so poor it wouldn't grow any corn, see. They didn't think about fertilizing, or hadn't got around to fertilizing or anything like that, or growing a cover crop after the corn was there or anything. They were just taking everything away, and there were several places around here that the land was pretty well ruined and washed away by just taking everything off every year. It finally got to where it wouldn't grow anything.
Would
no, that's all right. No thanks. All right.
Well, you know, in addition to all of that,